Let's stand together. Proverbs chapter 19. I'm glad it's still through the blood. Thank not our righteousness. If it was our righteousness, we'd be all on our way to hell. I want to, I don't know if, I don't know if I'm going to get to the sermon tonight, but we'll do what we can. Proverbs chapter 19. I want us, the Bible, and I read this morning, talked a little bit about it. God says we're body. Can everybody say body? By the way, there's a lot of body here tonight. Okay, we're body, and then we're soul. The soul is the mind, will, and emotion. Can you say soul? We're soul. And then we're spirit. Can you say spirit? Okay, we have to do the best we can to understand from the scriptures that we're a three-part being. And every part, the body, affects the soul and the spirit. And the spirit affects the soul and the body. And they all affect each other. Okay? And these seven deadly sins that cause stress, they mess up that spiritual ecosystem, I guess. And we need to understand that. Look at Proverbs chapter 19. And I'm going to do a little reviewing tonight. Proverbs 19:19. Proverbs 19:19. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. You say, well, what's that punishment? Well, there can be a lot of different punishments. One punishment would be the stress that it brings. Anger brings stress on you. Anger brings stress on your children, okay? Anger brings stress on your family. Anger, wrath. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Turn to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. I don't think I'm going to be able to talk too much about the anger tonight because I don't think we have enough time. I'm going to review a little bit, give us a little bit more material tonight, but we'll probably do most of the anger next Sunday morning. Proverbs 27, verse 4. Wrath is cruel. I don't know if I mentioned this morning. When you get angry, your adrenaline, anger is like a, and don't raise your hand if you've been drunk before, okay? But anger is like drunk. Being drunk or being intoxicated, being on drugs, it makes you say things that you wouldn't normally say. Okay, and literally, if you allow certain things to cause you to get angry, and then you get wrath, and then clamor comes, what happens? You begin adrenaline. Literally, it's like a drunk. You get adrenaline. That adrenaline is not there to yell at somebody. That adrenaline is there so that if some car falls on your son, the adrenaline comes in and you have supernatural power. Seriously. Adrenaline gives you supernatural power. But if we allow certain things to cause us to get angry, that adrenaline comes, we start saying things we don't want to say, just like a drunk man says, and then we walk away and we cool off. Okay, then you have a choice. You could either humble yourself and go ask whoever it is to forgive you, or then you don't only have the wrath, now you have the guilt. Now you have guilt. Maybe it's a brother, maybe it's a sister, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a child, okay? Maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's one of your employees, and then you have to, but wrath, anger. Proverbs 27, again, verse 4, wrath is cruel. Oh, cruelty to animals. No, a lot of dads are cruel to their children, okay? Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, okay? I don't know if you can do anything about that, Brother Ezekiel. The demon has come back. But who is able to stand before envy? Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. This is some familiar ground here. Ephesians Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26. Ephesians 4, verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Now look, too many people use this verse. Oh, yeah, that's what I was doing. I was being angry and not sinning. No, you weren't. You were being angry and sinning. Come on. Goodness, that, oh, that's what mine is. Mine's righteous indignation. No, it's not. It's fleshly, fleshly, fleshly. Okay? So how do you know? Because I'm just like you. I do the same thing. Shouldn't. Then I got to get things right. Okay? Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Okay? And that, you got to deal with your sin. Neither give place to the devil. Look down to verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, by the way, these are the five kissing cousins. Let all bitterness and wrath, by the way, when you teach about bitterness, and then you start talking to people and behind a pulpit or in a small group, and then you say, somebody that hurt you years ago. When people hurt us years ago, if we didn't forgive them, it comes to our mind just like that. I was in Monterey Park, and after church in Monterey Park, a man came up to me. I preached the same sermon, and he said, "Man, you know, he's brand new," and he just said that bitterness and you're talking about. He shared with me about what happened, something in his family, and he brought up just like that. And I said, you got to forgive. You have to forgive. But let all bitterness, okay, and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Oh, I missed that cousin. When you're bitter and wrath and anger and clamor, you start speaking evil. Be put away from you with all malice. See, what are we supposed to be? Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. So how are you kind when people do you wrong? Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You say, how do you forgive people? You remember what Jesus has done for you. Look at one more verse. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't hold all of our sins against us? Look at verse 4. Mortify therefore your members, or put to death, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Father, help us to, first of all, be thankful, Lord, that you love us enough to give us in your word truths on how to live. And Lord, help us to realize when we violate scripture, we face the consequences. When we live in harmony with your scripture, we reap the blessing and reap the benefits. And Lord, help us to understand that there are different sins that bring stress to our bodies, bring stress to our spirits, and bring stress to our souls. And help us to live in harmony with your scripture, Lord, and just in light the truths from your word tonight on your people, and help us to be obedient, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We said this morning the Lord wants us to have rest for our souls. Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest. Can everybody say rest? rest for your souls. Okay, not just rest for your body, rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Stress happens from wrong responses to situations that produce, I want you to please repeat after me, anger, can you say anger? Guilt, can you say guilt? Lust, can you say lust? Bitterness, can you say bitterness? Greed, can you say greed? Fear and envy. Stress happens from wrong responses to situations that produce anger, guilt, lust, bitterness, greed, fear, and envy. I mentioned this morning the American Institute of Stress reports that 75 to 90% of the doctor visits are stress disorders. Now, let me ask you a question. Okay, how many in the last month, I'm going to raise my hand. How many in the last month you went to the doctors? Raise your hand. Last month. Put it up. But maybe you or your children, put it up. Okay. Oh, wow. What a healthy bunch. We don't need this message. Okay. good. 75 to 90% go to the doctors. They're having pains. And I won't have time to go into it all tonight, but there's different sins. And we can look at scripture. And then I'll quote this medical doctor that they've done a lot of research, how that each sin affects certain parts of your body. Anger affects your heart. Fear affects your respiratory system. By the way, they've done studies. Fear, by the way, 365 times we're commanded not to fear. The Bible says, fear not. That's one for each day of the year. Okay, what are we supposed to have? We're supposed to have faith. You know, fear, they've done studies, fear causes asthma. Fear causes asthma. You know that you have twice the amount of the chance to have asthma if you only have one parent in the home. You say, why? You only have one parent in the home. It's a fearful thing. You don't have a mother or you don't have a father. But these different sins, okay? By the way, we read this morning in Hebrews that really the sin of God's people was a sin of unbelief. He said that your evil heart of unbelief. I mentioned this morning Dr. Harold Coing, co-director of the Center for Spirituality, Theology, and Health at Duke. This is not a Christian university. Duke University said that there's growing research documenting that psychological and social stresses affect cardiovascular functions, the nervous system, and I couldn't pronounce this, endocrine. Did I say it right? All right. How many know what that is? All right. How many don't know what it is? How many aren't here? Okay, just checking. That's the glands. I had my wife look it up. I said, what's that? That's your glands. In your digestive system. Yeah, Pastor, you're dumb. You're not so smart either. Anyway, digestive system and immune systems. Dr. Payne, and these are some things I mentioned this morning, but I want us, you say, what are you saying? I'm not saying this. God is saying it. You have a body, soul, and a spirit. And any sin that we commit, it's going to affect body, soul, or spirit, and most of the time it's going to affect all of them. And now the medical professions are coming in and saying, hey, listen, stress comes from certain sins. Okay? So, well, wait a minute. I got stressed because of a problem that came my way. That problem, you say, well, I didn't cause the problem. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to have faith. By the way, I struggle with it. I constantly have things that come my way, and it's like, wow, what is this? A barrage of things. You know, God's saying, be a person of faith. Be a person of faith. Dr. Payne, a medical doctor and a member of American Academy of Family Physicians, said after over 20 years as a physician, I am convinced that resolving stress through learning and obeying specific Bible principles is not only the best answer to health, but really the only answer to improving our health. Eating right, vitamins and supplements are not as important as resolving the issues that cause stress, like anger and guilt and lust and bitterness and greed and fear and envy. We said to resolve damaging stress, we must work on having a healthy body, a healthy soul, and a healthy spirit. However, the spirit is the most important part of our being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body. By the way, those of us that are 40 and 50, we pay attention to things like this more. You say, why? Because, man, my left knee, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. It's just been messing with me. Right? Rob, you're smiling. Us 40s and 50s and 60-year-olds, the rest of you are yawning. But let me say this. If you don't care about your body, you're a Christian, you ought to care about your spirit. Okay? Whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. We should do all we can to prevent self-inflicted stress. We encourage some of you to be, instead of rock stars, to be orchestra conductors. Okay? By the way, I didn't put these studies together, and if you want where I got the material, I can get it for you. Just come up and ask, and I'll write it down, and I get it for you. Orchestra conductors live to be 89. The average, I guess the average orchestra conductor, 89. So if you want to live longer, move to Hong Kong or become an orchestra conductor. If you want to die early, become a rock and roll star. The Bible says, please get this, life and death are in the power of the tongue. We know that, Proverbs 18:21. Words either contribute to rest for the soul or stress for the soul, which affects the body, the soul, and the spirit. Don't lose me. Proverbs 15:30, a good report maketh the bones fat. Now, in the Bible, when it says fat, it doesn't always mean like fat stomach, fat cheeks, okay? What do you call them? Handlebars, fat. What is this right here? Look, love handles. I call them handlebars. I guess you guys are more romantic than me. I don't know what that means, okay? Brother Ross calls them rolls. Okay, some of us have more rolls than others. But when the Bible says fat, it means prosperity. Okay, it means health. It means good. A good report maketh the bones fat. I had a sermon. I didn't prepare it. I heard a sermon, one of the best sermons I've ever heard, I forget the title of it. How to keep your doctor bill down. Basically, all the scriptures on bones. By the way, your bones. There's a couple things about our bones. You know, we have you know, joints and our bones, and you know, you start getting older, and I'm not a physician. I can't give all the details. How many know an older person that they broke their hip? Okay, they fell. Okay, and they broke their hip. You get older, your bones start to get more brittle. They break easier. But also, your bones house your immune system. Your immune system is what keeps you healthy. Okay, but a good report, say, what's a good report? Good news. Good news. A good report maketh the bones fat. Good words, please get this, and I'm gonna give you a little illustration that'll sort of knock your socks off. Good words help our body, which affect our soul and spirit. Now look, you come home, Dad. Don't come home and go, place is a mess. You know what you just did? You just affected everybody's body, soul, and spirit. By the way, wives, here's the trick. If you know he's coming, clean it up, because you know what you're going to hear if you don't. Proverbs 25:25. By the way, we said, you see there, a good report maketh the bones is the body, fat. Okay, Proverbs 25:25, as cold water to a thirsty soul. Okay, that's the soul. So is good news from a far country. Good news. But let me say this. In this day and age, and I think it's our Adamic nature, really, you have to do it on purpose to be share the good news. By the way, we've got good news tonight. If you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. If you're saved, God is your Father. If you're saved, you get to fellowship. You get to go in the Shekinah glory every day. You don't listen, if you're saved tonight, you get to walk with the God of heaven, and we get to pray to him. And he said we could come boldly to the throne of grace. That's good news tonight. If you have a wife sitting next to you in church on Sunday night, that's good news. If you have a husband that's in church tonight, that is good news. Do you know how many ladies would give their left arm or their left leg or their right hand or their left eye to have their husband sitting in church, hearing the word of God, fellowshipping with God's people, singing congregational songs, being here for the special? They'd give anything. If you got your wife in church tonight, say amen. Your husband, ladies, we might not say amen. Young people, I don't think back and I don't think of what I wish I would have had. But I'll never forget, I was in Las Vegas. I wasn't there for the same reason you were there. Okay. I was actually doing a wedding or preaching or something. And I was in, and I'd never been to Las Vegas airport. I'm going, wow, what a temptation. And I'm thinking, I got some quarters in my pocket. And I'm looking, any deacons in here? Brother Ross said they're down the way at the other slot machine. And I thought, just one, what would it hurt? I won't win a thing. You know, sure enough, I'll put it in there. Ding, 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 ding. You know, the whole place goes up. But I didn't do it. I was sitting there, and I can't remember what it was. And I can't remember what, you know, there's certain things that hit your brain. They hit a key. And I start to think about how it would have been if my dad was saved. And my dad went to church. And I had a Christian father. Wow, I just broke down. You say, why? It'll never happen. But let me say something. Some of you have Christian fathers. And you don't have to sit in an airport wondering how it would be with a Christian father. You know what? That's good news. Or a Christian mother. I never had a... Now, my mom, she did get saved. She started coming to our church her last few years of life, and that was a joy. She'd sit right over here. Good news. There's a lot of good news. Don't just dwell on the bad news tonight. Dwell on the good news. We live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. If you want, you say, well, I can't afford to go to Southeast Asia. You don't have to go to Southeast Asia. Just go to the borders about 105, 110 miles from here. Go over there, walk across, and see the little poor kids there in Tijuana. Thank God you get to be an American citizen. So I'm not a citizen yet. Well, you're here tonight. Maybe you're illegal or something, but praise God you're here. Brother, by the way, my staff up here, if we can write a book on what they say up here. You don't hear it. I'll say something. You'll say amen. Brother Pineda said, I got some papers to sell you up here. I don't know what that means. Proverbs 25:25, as cold water to a thirsty soul, the soul, so is good news from a far country. Dad, you want to help your family? Bring good news at home. We have family altar. Every time we have family altar, listen, there could have been, we could have done some spanking ministries that day. There could have been like maybe, you know, one of your children, my children. He said, Pastor, your children ever get detention? You better believe they do. I don't know if they've gotten any this year. They've had detention. Man, I can tell you, your kids. Yeah. By the way, thank God my kids aren't perfect, because then you probably have, that's the preacher's kids. Pleasant words, the Bible says, are as honeycomb. Now, we just read Proverbs 25:25, as cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far land. It's good for your soul. Here's another verse. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul. Can you say soul? Soul and health to the bones. If you want to help your soul and your children's soul and your wife's soul, your Sunday school teacher, you want to help the people that you serve in ministry, your bus captain, you can help their soul. We see it right there, very clear. There's a soul in the body, right there, right there. And I'm sure it's going to help the spirit too. The Bible says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words help the soul and the body. If a person has bitterness, lust, and I want you to memorize these seven sins. Bitterness, lust, envy, fear, anger, guilt, or greed. As I already mentioned, no matter how much organic food you eat, no matter how pure your water is, no matter what type of supplement vitamins you have or essential minerals, or no matter how many colon cleanses you have, no matter how many lemon fasts you have or herbal teas you drink, if you have bitterness, lust, envy, fear, anger, guilt, or greed, you are still jeopardizing your soul, your body, and your spirit. God's word is universal. It's for everybody. It's for Chinese. It's for people in Hong Kong. It's for people in Mexico. It's for people in Yugoslavia. It's for people in Afghanistan. God's word is universal and non-optional. You don't have the option. If you live in harmony with God's word, you experience the blessing of rest. Rest. If you violate God's word, you experience the consequences of stress. You know, tonight, right now, there's some kids right now, they're sneaking around right now. Do you know what you're doing? You're bringing stress in your life. You're hurting your soul. You're hurting your spirit. You say, what do you mean? I don't know. I'm figuring a crowd of this size. There's some teenager. They're on the cell phone and they're texting somebody. And maybe there's a young man here. You're on the internet. Or maybe there's some, I don't know, maybe there's some guy here. You're messing around with some girl. Let me say this. Look, it's not going to hurt. Yes, it is. First of all, because you're sneaking, you're guilty. There's guilt there. You have a hard time looking godly people in the eye. By the way, I don't want to be a judge, but I watch people. I'm like, I don't know exactly what it's like. There's like an alarm goes off. They can't look you in the eye. They can't look you in the eye. Guilt. I read this. I never heard this before. Ladies, please get this. I've always thought immodest ladies, some of them, it's not hurting them. It's only hurting a man. It hurts them too. This was like a new, what do you call it, epiphany? You guys don't know all those big vocabulary words. It's a new insight. I read it in that book on seven deadly diseases and how lust, a lady that dressed immodestly, what happens is when a man looks at her, she lusts. Because when he looks at her, she thinks about what he's thinking about. And you know what it does? It's lust and it's guilt. And you say, what does it do? It affects your body, it affects your soul and your spirit. By the way, we're supposed to be modest because God says we're supposed to be modest. We're supposed to be modest because we're not supposed to cause our brother to stumble or cause even an unsaved person to stumble. But another reason you ought to be modest is so that you don't cause yourself to lust. Because by the way, the ladies will say it, the ladies in the world, they say, we dress to turn heads. Come on, don't look at me so innocently. That's not like something that's not, you know, I didn't make that up. We dress to turn heads. By the way, they don't dress to turn heads so someone else sees their head turned. They dress so they can watch the head turn towards them. But when the head turns towards them, it's almost like a beam, and it causes that lady to be tempted. Where were we? That was good. Seven destructive causes of stress. Their sins: anger, guilt, lust, bitterness, greed, fear, and envy. Just as destructive words can spread death, encouraging words can spread life. A good word maketh the bones fat or healthy. It gives literal physical health. Listen, you're not going to believe this. I had a hard time believing it. I just read it. They did a study on words. One of the most powerful ways you can actually improve your health is by eliminating stress with this biblical exercise. This will also help your health and the health of those around you, is to learn the skill of giving verbal blessings. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. By the way, this brought such conviction when I read this story. I've been so guilty at times. They did a study. They got white rice. Try this. They got white rice. They put a jam jar. You know those old-fashioned jam jars? They put rice in it, white rice, okay? I don't know if they put water in it. Yeah, I think they put water in it. And then they had two of them. Now, let me read it. Cooked white rice was put in two jars. This is just straight from the book on the seven sins that cause deadly stress. The jars were placed on a shelf in a quiet room 3 to 4 feet apart. Each day, the rice on the left was given verbal blessings. This is rice. This isn't your little Poindexter. Rice. By the way, about 80% of you could try this tonight. Okay? Including me. We have very gracious people. We have people that bring us those big 50-pound bags of rice, man. Love it. Not good for your blood sugar, but it's good. But the jars were placed on a shelf in a quiet room 3 or 4 feet apart. Each day, the rice on the left was given verbal blessings. Hi, little ricey. You're so nice, rice. You're so beautiful and white. Just nice. Nicey, ricey. I don't know exactly what they said. They didn't say verbal blessings. Okay. You know where we're going to the other rice, right? The jars were placed on a shelf in the quiet room. Each day the rice on the left was given verbal blessing. Then the rice on the right was given verbal. You rotten rice! The rice on the right was yelled at and screamed at. You dummy! You're not going to amount to anything. You'll never end up in any rich man's rice plate. You're going to end up in the king of the greatest Asian country in the world. We know that's where your destiny is. After 17 days, but I saw the picture. You know, I mean, this could have been Photoshop. I don't know. And maybe we're just having fun tonight. I read it. I saw the pictures of the left, the rice on the left that was blessed, and the rice on the right that was cursed. Bad, mean, negative. After 17 days, the rice in the left jar remained white. I saw it. It browned a little bit, but not much. Whereas the rice in the right jar turned dark. I saw it. It looked like disease. And I thought, man, I've probably made my kids feel like that at times. Come on, guys, don't look at me so innocent. You have too. I mean, I saw my. You know, sometimes we say something that we're supposed to say, but we don't say it with the right spirit. After 70 days, the rice in the left jar remained white, whereas the rice in the right jar turned dark. When the lids were opened, a sweet aroma came from the left jar, but a putrid stench came from the right jar. If this happened to cook rice, imagine what happens to the eternal terrain of people who receives blessings and cursings. How about your wife? How about your husband? How about your children? How about the people that you work with? Hey, let's bless people with our words. It helps their soul, it helps their spirit, and it helps their body. We can trace much poor health. You say, what was this, a health food seminar or something? No, but we do have a body. It's a part of the being that God has made us. He said body, soul, and spirit. And we need to understand, listen, go to the doctors and eat the health food and exercise. And, you know, my doctor, he's asked how often you exercise. I said, I walk about 3 times a week. He said, you need to do 4. I'll do it. You know, my wife and I, we took about 2.5 mile walk Friday. Okay, just to take a little walk. But more important than that, let's not be bitter. More important than that, let's not be envious. More important than that, let's not lust. But we can trace much poor health in us, bringing self-inflicted stress in many ways. This in the same book, it's called How to Resolve 7 Deadly Stresses. This medical doctor, Dr. Reich Hamer, is a German physician. In December of 1978, his son died as a result of a gunshot wound. Dr. Hamer, the father of this son, the medical doctor, was overwhelmed with grief and sorrow with this tragedy, and he soon developed cancer. By the way, it's a known fact. When my father was murdered, I can identify with this. My grandfather was in his mid to about 80, I don't know, 87. He was healthy as a horse. We go to his backyard. He's got this, my Italian grandpa, he has this huge garden in the backyard. He had the tomatoes and the trees and the fruit. And he made homemade tomato sauce and homemade wine. Anyway, homemade spaghetti. They made their homemade noodles. Very healthy. My dad got murdered. His health just went, and he died. He died. The stress. But anyway, this medical doctor, was overwhelmed with his grief and sorrow of this tragedy, and he soon developed cancer. He wondered if there was any connection between his cancer and the unresolved stress of his grief. After conducting a study that involved more than 20,000 patients, he was able to draw a direct correlation between various types of stress and specific diseases. Dr. Hamer also observed that when a particular stress was resolved, by the way, I mentioned this morning, we've I don't know how many people, and some of our people, they've been able to come to our church through the RU program to get anger management classes. We don't want to manage anger. We want to resolve anger. Okay, we don't want, well, let's manage it. Just make sure your cork doesn't go too high, you know, when you blow up. No. We're not anger management. We should have anger, get anger resolved. Dr. Hamer also observed that when a particular stress was resolved, the related disease often cleared up. In 1981, 3 years later, Dr. Hamer presented his findings to the medical university from which he earned his degree in 1961. He was excited about the possibility of teaching this material at the university because the purpose of his life was to find now and eliminate the root causes of disease. After several months of silence, university officials informed him that if he taught this information, they would see to it that his medical license would be revoked. After receiving their answer, Dr. Hamer decided that he could not turn his back on such overwhelming data. Therefore, he began to share his medical findings with his patients. As a result, his medical license was revoked. And by the way, I won't go into it. I'm not an expert on this. But there is a certain, in many, many people's opinion, there's a certain element out there that doesn't want solutions like this, preventive things like this, to get out there, because then the medical world doesn't have as many patients. And if they don't have as many patients, they don't have as much what? Money. Oh, a bunch of conspiracy people. No, no, no. It's not a bunch of conspiracy people. It's people like him that have done numerous, he's had, what do you say, I don't know, 10,000, 20,000. But anyway, after several months of silence, university officials informed him that if he taught this information, they were going to revoke his license. After receiving the answer, Dr. Hamer decided that he could not turn his back on such overwhelming data. Therefore, he began to share his medical findings with his patients. As a result, his medical license was revoked in 1986. A major assault was then launched against him and his research. The purpose of this book is not to try to validate or deny the results of Dr. Hamer's work. It is to explain how he gave us a key idea, the potential of researching specific stresses and how they directly relate to the systems of the body. Our first step was to go to the powerful Sermon on the Mount. By the way, these seven sins that I keep mentioning, they're, and we'll get to them, they're all on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talks about them on the Sermon on the Mount. Our first step was to go to the powerful Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave his the multitudes. In that message, we identified seven basic stresses and their relationships to life. These are anger, I'll keep mentioning them, anger, guilt. You say, what's guilt? Guilt, your human body, my body was not created to handle guilt. And so when guilt, you say, what is guilt? You do something wrong, guilt comes. Okay, God made us that way. You're guilty. By the way, your palms will sweat. Okay, and you're guilty. Whether it's stealing a cookie in the house. By the way, parents, sometimes you ever interrogate your kids and you're going, you know what? I know we're supposed to have witnesses, and I know we need to have a confession, and I know you're not confessing, but I know you did it. How many have ever been there? Why? Because their eyes are all, oh, I didn't do it. I'll never forget. There was a family came to me and they said, hey, they were bawling and crying. They said, my son accidentally hit somebody and then he took off. He didn't know in America. He was new in America from Cambodia. He didn't know America. He can't do that. Well, you ought to know nobody can do that anywhere. He took off. He freaked out. He said, oh, my soul, maybe someone saw me. By the way, he hit like two or three people accidentally. He wasn't drunk. He wasn't drunk. He wasn't on drugs. He wasn't speeding. He just accidentally hit a few people. Accidentally hit a few people, you know. he panicked. And he's, oh, you know, I'll call the police and tell them someone stole my car. And they showed up. And they started talking to him. Oh. He asked him a few questions. That's called guilt. When you're guilty, you say, well, some people are real good at really hiding. I know they are, because their conscience is seared. Okay? But still, the guilt is there. Okay? The guilt is there. And so, that guilt, lust, bitterness, greed. We live in a greedy country. Greed. What's greed? It's materialism. I've got to get this. I've got to get that. Greed. Fear and envy. I'm going to stop right there. Let's all stand for just a moment.